episode sponsored by Gamer Subs. Welcome back to another episode of A Different Key. I am your host for the day, Chris, joined by Adrian. This is a very special episode. We are a little late.
Yeah.
But we're here.
We got there.
We're here.
This
is also filler because we didn't get around to planning an episode this week anyway. So while Joe and Alex are working on the transition of getting back into podcasting regularly, we're gonna hit you guys with our individual but combined top 10 lists of albums for the year of 2020.
Yep. So technically 20 albums. We have some crossover.
There's like two or three that overlap, but other than that, it's all pretty unique.
Yeah,
pretty
compared different to the 2019 one
where it was like six or seven of the same bands.
Yeah, because we just kind of went and listened to the same albums. But
yeah,
I actually went and brought some of my own electronic taste with this one.
And 2020 was a weird year for me. I kind of fell, I won't say I fell out of emo, but I fell into other things.
Yeah.
And that's apparent
yep.
with my choices, but I'm still depressed.
Same here.
Still depressed as shit.
Same here. We've put together a quick little mock-up playlist of songs off of each of our albums. So there's like 20 songs on this playlist, and we're gonna be listening to in the background. Y'all won't hear because copyright.
And then after we record this, we're gonna sit together and kind of curate the playlist a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe add another song or two from each album, mm-hmm. or swap the song that we already have for another one, just to kind of make a nice cohesive, vibey playlist out of all the shit that we've put together. So the link for that will be in the description as well.
Indeed, which might be a more daunting task than you might think, just because it's a very diverse set of albums.
I think we can pull it off.
I think so.
I think we might be able to pull it off.
Yep.
But I think right now the best thing we can do is just get right the fuck into it, because we got 20 albums to talk about right now.
Exactly.
All right.
So starting off. It's an album I picked at number 10 called No Future by Eden. Formerly the Eden Project. Irish dude.
Mm-hmm.
Who, best way I can describe his sound, if Chainsmokers was good.
I've heard that one.
Because he does go with a lot of the, I guess, EDM poppy aesthetic. Mm-hmm. But then he throws in a nice little twist on it, because he gets like good lyrics. His lyrics are very solid.
Yeah.
And compositions for his songs are very unique.
Yeah.
Especially this album.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to his last album that I liked a lot, In Credits, he really went weirder on this album. Not bad weird. It's a good weird.
Mm.
He played a lot more with voice modulation, as well as very different types of compositions. And a lot more interlude tracks throughout. It's a big album.
Yeah.
And quite a few are interludes, but they're not like throwaways, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And this hits my number 10 spot. And granted, if there's one thing to understand about our lists, is that we love all these albums on our list.
Yeah. And there are so many more that we wanted to put on the list. But we had to keep it to 10 for the sake of, we have to talk about all of these on the show.
Exactly. So, definitely this album, to me, just spoke to that itch that I want from Eden.
Yeah.
Which is just, like, ballad electronic singer-songwriter.
Shout out to good friend of the show, good friend of the crew, Pterodactyl7. Love you, Jack. Good homie from Northern Ireland.
Yep.
He introduced me to this artist a while back.
Mm-hmm.
And when I brought it to the show, Adrian was like, yo! And I'm like, yeah!
Yeah. From what you've heard of this album, what do you think?
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Obviously, it's not in my wheelhouse of things that I listen to regularly.
Right.
But it's definitely something that I will listen to if it's like if yeah. we're if we're cruising down the street going to get some cookout or something, it's and you put this on, I'll be like, oh hell yeah,
yeah,
oh hell yeah,
yeah. And that's kind of it hit in the right spot for me, yeah. And I think it's fair placement on number 10.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree. It's pretty good. Okay. All right. Well, that was really good timing on that.
Yeah.
We're going to get right into my first pick. My number 10 album would be the album Melee by Dogleg. I was telling Adrian before the show, this album, to me, is the perfect fucking grungy, pop punk, angsty fucking rock album this year. And it's at number 10. So, you know, right now we're listening to the song Kawasaki Backflip, which is the first song on the album, and that's the sickest song title. But really, when this album came out, I spent a solid 2 hours listening to it over and over, kind of really getting a feel for it. Because at first I was like, okay, it's just another pop punk emo album.
Right.
And then I listened to it a second time and I'm like, okay, there's more depth here. It's almost parodying itself.
Huh.
And the parody does more justice to the genre than a lot of albums that are trying seriously do. And, like,
you sound like you're talking about camping in Alaska here.
I mean, it might kind of be the realest fucking emo album I've heard since fucking whatever that fucking Camping in Alaska album was called. But yeah, no, this one, I can't really explain in detail the thought process of why it landed at number 10 without sitting here and talking about just this album for an hour and a half. Maybe one day I'll tear this one down a little bit more,
right,
in a bonus track, because I feel like every album I chose deserves its own bonus track,
yeah.
And I'm sure Adrian does as well. Like, so we'll get in more in depth with some of these projects later, I promise.
Yeah.
But this one in particular just really scratched that itch that I needed for a pure, raw pop punk album. And boy, did I fucking get it.
Yeah.
I fucking got it.
Yeah. And it, of what I think of it from what I've heard, since I've only heard Kawasaki Backflip.
Yeah.
It's definitely, as you described, that angsty emo song. Yeah. And that's the vibe I'm always down for.
Yeah.
And it hits in a way that, to me, I would just jam out with it whenever it was on.
Yeah. And no, if I could go see this band live right now.
Oh, hell yeah.
I might mosh.
Yeah. I'd mosh.
I might mosh.
I'd spill all my PBR. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah. Fuck it. It'd be worth it.
It's good. Kawasaki Backflip by Dogleg.
Off of the album Melee.
Yep.
Go check that shit out. All right, next up.
So, we're getting into number 9 spot.
Never heard of this artist before.
Nope. Number 9 spot for me is the album The Cormorant 1 and 2 by San Fermin. The song is Cerulean Gardens that I picked off the album. So, we've talked about in the past the San Fermin self-titled. We had the whole bonus track about it.
Yep.
One of my top albums of all time.
Yes.
Since then, the band hasn't really hit the same mark.
Mm-hmm.
For many reasons. One being that they were trying to be a bit more palpable for a wider audience.
Yeah. Which is fair. I get it.
Yeah, I get that. Because San Fermin was a very avant-garde concept album, and it definitely was trying to go for just a studio piece.
Yes.
They wanted more songs after that to be performable, more likable, and stuff like that. This album, to me, is them finally realizing what they want that sound to be, that newer sound. And I like it. The whole album, from start to finish, feels like a San Fermin album, finally, again.
Yeah.
it's a little bit more poppy and a little bit more...
I will say, I've listened to a little bit of this one. on my own, just out of curiosity.
Right.
Because after the self-titled bonus track, I went through and I saw exactly what you meant.
Yeah.
And I experienced it for myself. And then, you know, listening to this, I was like, okay, this is probably the closest we'll ever get.
Yeah, yeah.
To having that again.
Yeah. Unless they decide to put out another concept album like the self-titled, this is the closest that they'll get.
Yeah.
And I can appreciate it for what it is. And I put out the number 9 spot because it's another album I can just jam to. I feel like that's kind of the move for these lower number albums.
2020 was a year where you just kind of needed something to vibe to while you were existing. Because that's all you could do was exist.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
This one definitely, especially Cerulean Gardens, I want to point out a bit. They got the main singer, I think, Alan? I forget his name.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
He, the male singer of the group, it starts out with him and his guitar as the first part of the song. And then slowly, gradually, the rest of the band comes in throughout the song, which I'm like, it's a good build.
The development of the piece, within the piece, it's pretty dang good just in this one particular song.
Yep.
And that... It happens a couple times in the album, and I enjoy it.
Yeah,
I enjoy it quite a bit. The sound is, it's soothing, it's calm, but it's still got enough life to it.
Yeah,
to keep you interested and keep you going.
Right.
So,
yeah, for sure. Check out this album, guys.
It's a really, really, really good one.
Yeah, and then also go back and listen to the self-titled and feel pain.
Yep, goddamn right. All right. Well, fuck it. I guess it is a bit more of a speed run than we expected. All right, let's fucking go, boys. My number my number 9 pick is going to be Dark Comedy Performance Piece of My Life by Walter Etc. We're currently listening to the song Gidget Etc. From the album. But, okay. This is where you start to see a little bit more of the indie hole I fell down this year.
Right.
It's a lot more of a DIY dude in his basement with a couple of friends just wanted to make an indie album and has been doing the same fucking thing for the past like 4 or 5 years. And it's just weird, and there's little elements of funk, and you got, like, right now, you can hear the fucking
theremin
in the background. They're just having fun.
Yeah.
It's a very fun, concise, well-packaged indie album. And it just, like, I'm one of those skateboard nerds, right? Everyone knows I'm one of them skateboard nerds. And this is an album that I'll just put on when I'm sitting here fingerboarding or playing Skater XL. I'll just put this on and just vibe out.
Yep.
Like, it's really good for that.
It is.
And I don't know.
I dig it. It is exactly as you describe. It is a skater song.
Yeah.
And you just fucking lip slide that clit with this song, dude. That's what this song is. But also, from what you said, that we're kind of speed running, I think this earlier part of the episode, we're definitely
Gonna move once through. We get into the top 5, we're gonna have a lot more to say, especially when we get the overlap, which starts in the top 5.
Yeah,
I believe
it does.
So.
Yeah, the overlap starts in the top 5 because we have crossover in a lot of our tastes, and
some big albums came out from some big artists that are parts of our lives.
Yeah,
and
we both share just that. We were both similarly affected by each of those crossover albums.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when it comes to, like, you know, this song, this album that I'm listening to, it's another fucking vibe.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I mean when I say I don't know how hard or easy this playlist will be to put together after we're done.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we're going to be able to pull shit off that flows.
Right.
But at the same time, some of it might flow a little too well in some cases.
Mm.
It's gonna be weird. We'll see how it works.
We'll see.
But Walter Etc. It's an artist that I've kind of had deep within me
right.
for the past couple of years, and I never really talked about until now, because just, like, over the past year, I've just really fallen into that indie hole.
Right.
And this is one of the bands that started that for me.
Oh, yeah.
So, go listen to Dark Comedy Performance, Piece of My Life by Walter, etc. Highly recommend it.
Yep. So, on to number 8. Mm-hmm. The album Mystic Familiar by Dan Deacon. The song I picked for us to listen to now is Become a Mountain, The Edit, which is on the B-side of the record. Interesting enough, I had Chris listen to the non-edit of this version before the podcast.
Yeah.
And I believe this edit version, the first one, the songs, all the songs on this album are as expected from Dan Deacon. Very trippy, very immensely intense at times. It's meant to be listened to while tripping.
Yeah.
And the entire purpose is to just really almost have an out-of-body experience by the end of each song. And the initial song, the Become a Mountain song, the non-edit version that I had Chris listen to, was very synth-heavy.
Yeah.
And this song is too a bit, but if I remember correctly, it has a little bit more of an acoustic flavor throughout it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a good reprisal of the initial song. And he reprises a few songs on the A side, on the B side.
Yeah.
So, this album for sure, if you just want to vibe out and, like, lose yourself in the sound, whether high or not.
Yeah.
This is the lose yourself in an album song.
You can do that here.
Yeah. What do you think?
I, obviously, from the two versions of the one song that I've heard,
I'll tell you, like, they're all very similar on the record.
I could definitely see myself, like, chilling, probably with Molly, just taking some bong rips, and just, like, cuddling in bed, and just, like, fading out while listening to this shit. Just straight fucking vibing. Yep. I could see that.
Yep.
And that's a mood.
It's a whole mood.
That's a fucking mood right mm-hmm. there. Yeah. Fucking.
It's good
shit. We'll peep more. Mm-hmm. We'll peep more. I like it quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh.
Yeah, see, you're listening to the edit now. And there's like some orchestral element to it.
What? Okay. All right. Yeah. We're coming back to that.
Yep.
I'll come back to that. We'll talk about that sometime.
Yep.
All right. Surprise, surprise.
Your number 8.
My number 8 album. Fist Me Till Your Hand Comes Out My Mouth by Crywank. the final Crywank album. We're done, boys.
It's over.
No beef in the band, nothing. They're just like, we're done. Mm-hmm. We're done with this project, moving on.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know what? Fucking respect.
Right.
As much as I love Crywank, as much as Crywank is the reason I picked up the guitar and wrote my first shitty song, I'm okay with that. Because right. I'm moving on in my musical career.
Right.
I'm moving on from just sad boy with his acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And so are they.
I think that's important in any musician's development, is to decide when to, like, leave a project behind. When you know it's finished. When you know it's complete.
Yeah. So, right now we're listening to the song Cringy Wincer, which is, like, one of the last few songs on the album. And you can kind of hear... I'll turn it up a little bit for you, Adrian. But you can kind of hear the surrealist aspect in the background.
Yeah.
That's something that is very heavy on this album in particular.
I've noticed.
And also very heavy in the new stuff that James has been releasing since the breakup. Mm-hmm. And I like that. You know I like me some weird, surreal, dark, ambient shit.
Yeah.
and he's kind of mixing that with his shitty DAG guitar and stuff, and I like it a lot.
it hits a note that, what's the name of it? it reminds me of that one game that looks like clay figures and is super surreal. You know what I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fuck. I wish I could recall it.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but it's also blanking in my head.
Yeah. Basically, it is a very surreal sound. And something that, to me, I'm a bit surprised to hear from Crywink. Because in the past, it was just more of, you know, bedroom folksy, just sad shit.
Yeah.
But this hits in a way that I'm like, it's almost like Pink Floyd-ish, you know? Especially this song, it does have that trippy, surreal vibe. And all the instrumentation in it, all very acoustic and just enough like synthetic sound in the background to really create a really nice soundscape.
Yeah. This album in particular has a lot of lyrical, instrumental, and like theatrical references to his past works as well, which really just kind of hit me in a different way after the fact, right? Like the first line in this song, Cringy Wincer, is hand in egg, foot in my mouth. And that's the title of their last album or the one before that. I can't really remember. Something they release like an album every fucking year. it's just riddled with so many little references and throwbacks that you won't catch unless you know Crywing. And boy, do I fucking know Crywing. But yeah, no. So Fist Me Till Your Hand Comes Out My Mouth by Crywink was my number 8 of this year. And boy, oh boy. I love it. Awesome. It a lot.
So.
All right.
My number 8 comes from an album that kind of caught me out of the blue. It's called Suddenly, by the artist Caribou. And the song I picked is the initial track, Sister. And the album was very reminiscent of another favorite artist of mine, James Blake.
Yeah.
And to me, it hits that minimalist chord of like electronic music with a little bit more meat behind it. And throughout, it uses a lot of my favorite things I find in like electronic music, which is a lot of vocal hits used tastefully throughout, looping of different melodies and beats, and the lyrics in his singing by Caribou is very much fitting to the sound as well. Yeah. That's something that's hard to do because I feel like electronic sounds, you need a voice to fit whatever type of electronic sounds you have.
Yeah.
Because it is not an acoustic sound that's coming out of those machines. Mm-mm. So you need a voice, you need to shape the acoustic sound around the voice.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to shape the electronic sound around the acoustic voice is what I mean.
Yeah.
And I think he did that very well in this album.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. It, like, obviously, as anyone who listens to the show knows, I don't typically delve too deep into this type of genre.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something, this one in particular is hitting me different. I've been spacing out a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of hitting those ambient noise notes for me. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah. Oh, fuck with me, it's ambient noise.
It really is more, whenever electronic music focuses more on the texture of the sound it's
instead
creating,
of a rhythm.
Yeah, it is a entirely different experience. Yeah.
And I've come to terms with the fact that that's what I want more.
Yeah, because that's the, I think, the advantage of electronic music compared to more acoustic stuff is that you have a much broader width and expansive playing field when it comes to creating new sounds.
Yeah.
Compared to just having more acoustic instruments, you can add effects to acoustic instruments and whatnot, and it all sound good, but they all kind of have... You're when you play a guitar, you can tell you're playing a guitar.
Yeah.
When you're playing saxophone, you can tell you're playing saxophone.
Yeah.
Electronic music has always been just a step in a very alien direction,
mm-hmm.
where you can create sounds that are not of a natural form. And I'm not saying natural as in, like, the unnatural is bad. I'm saying that it is definitely something that can be explored. And I'm sure you can agree with this album that it explores all the different textures that you can do with just a few analog electronic instruments.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. And I'm starting to get into it more. Like, I listen to a lot of EDM and stuff, which is the more rhythm popular bass.
Mm-hmm.
But the more that I listen to stuff like this, the more I'm getting into it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I like it. I like it. All right. Let's go. I feel like we may have mentioned this album at some point on a show. Yeah. All right. Dikembe is a band that I've been listening to for a couple years now, ever since I got into my late emo phase, at fresh out of high school, when you should stop, that's when I started, you know? So, I've been listening to them for a while, but none of their albums really hit me the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Until last year, when Adrian and I were sitting here, and I was like, oh, hey, a new Dikembe album. Let's see if this one's good. And I clicked the first song, and we both are sitting here listening just like, what? Oh.
Yep. It hit different.
It really fucking did. This album is called Muck, and it is their 2020 release. Ooh, girl.
Ooh, girl.
Yes, honey. Fucking, they killed it with this album.
Yeah.
The marketing with this album was also fucking incredible. They released a mobile game. they released a mobile game. Like, so many fucking music videos, so much promo art, so much cool shit that they did around this album, because they were like, nah. This is the year that fucking Dikembe is gonna stick out. And fuck, they did it.
They did it.
And I'm so proud of them.
Yep.
Like, the only other emo band that I've seen make a mobile game for one of their albums is fucking Citizen.
Yeah.
When their last album came out, they were like, fuck it, mobile game. And I'm so glad that's a trend, because it's always fucking 2D pixely side scrollers, right. And I'm like, yeah.
It's always fun to see a cross between the two mediums.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, this album by Dikembe, Muck. It feels, it's just, as the name of the album is, it's dirty.
It's grimy.
Yeah, but it's you want to get into
disgusting.
It. It's that feeling of when you were a kid and you see a mud puddle and you're like, I just want to jump into it.
Yeah.
And I just want to roll around and be a gremlin. This is that album.
it really does carry that energy. Mm-hmm. It carries, there's so much youth in it, despite them being older than us.
Yeah.
Like, it has an energy to it that just makes you want to just fucking thrash out and headbang and fucking vibe.
You're gonna mosh to this song if it's at a concert.
It's so good.
You're gonna mosh to this album. You're gonna mosh.
It's so good. Like, I've always wanted to love Dikembe, and 2020 was the year that I could finally say that I love Dikembe.
Right. They really found it, I think, with this album.
Yeah. 100% agree.
100%.
100%.
Okay. This is, next, my number 7? Right?
6.
6. Oh, number 6, right. This is my number 6. The album, or twin set of albums, Goddess of the Hollow and, Siren of the Formless. Two albums released in conjunction with each other by City Girl.
Mm.
The song we're listening to now, we listened to it earlier, is Pray, but it is one of my favorite songs off of the two different sides.
Yeah.
And as ever, City Girl is an artist that, of a few artists that kind of have a similar vibe, where they each started out as sort of the lo-fi, chill-hop sort of artist.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they developed their production skills, they got into a lot more stuff.
Yeah.
The production on these on this album is really the realized taste, I think, in the vibe that mm-hmm. City Girl has been wanting for a while.
Yeah.
Which is a very, like, ethereal but and very trancy, but also, like, poppy.
Yeah.
You called it, like, wee pop.
Weeb. Weeb.
Yeah.
It's... So... All right. I've been a fan of City Girl for about 3 or 4 years
mm-hmm.
at this point. And all of their music... Well, my love for their music started with the fucking lo-fi cute hop bullshit that
right.
everyone knows I fucking adore
mm-hmm.
with all my heart. But they're one of the few artists in that genre to evolve out of that genre and still keep my attention.
Yep.
And that's because while they grow and they build more energy in behind their tracks and stuff like that, they still keep the soul mm-hmm. of just relax, bro.
Yeah.
It's gonna be aight. Just chill.
Like, compared to other artists that had that a lot of energy in their songs, are very dancing and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
City Girl just feels the sound of her music just kind of clarifies and purifies my mind. Like, I don't know why, my whole headspace just becomes clearer whenever I listen to her music.
Yeah.
And, oh my god, it feels so good.
Yeah, it really does.
And I can put City Girl on in the background. Any yeah. of her albums.
I do put City Girl on in the background. You and I were just talking about this before.
We did last night.
Yeah, the last piece of physical music that I bought was a fucking City Girl CD. Like, that's how much I care about this artist.
That's so good.
Like, holy shit. It's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Like, please.
And keep in mind, yeah. this album fucking is one of fucking, like, three that they released last year.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know,
just
pump them out.
That's one.
To be fair, City Girl releases, like, 5 or 6 albums every year sometimes. Like,
yeah. And it's insane to me how prolific City Girl is.
Yeah. Because it's not like it's just, all right, here's a couple shit albums and then a good album. No, they're all bangers.
They're all good.
They're all good.
And also, she does all the cover art for her albums.
Yeah.
Just think about that.
Yeah.
How? Why? Why are you that good?
why you gotta make the good music and also draw good, girl? Why?
Why?
But yeah, no. Fucking absolutely, Goddess of the Hollow is probably my favorite of the albums that came out last year.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, it deserves this. It yep. deserves this coveted spot yep. on the Grimcash top 20. Fucking
my number 6 spot.
Hell yeah,
Goddess of the Hollow / Siren of the Formless by City Girl.
All right. Okay, are y'all ready? Because this is where shit starts to go a little longer.
Because
now we're getting into the real shit. Real shit, fam.
Real shit.
Brave Faces Everyone by Spanish Love Songs. So, this album is very much the reason I lived. This album is the reason I survived 2020. I'll say that right now. This album taught me some lessons that I haven't been taught. Like, back when I got into the emo revival scene after high school, I listened to it to relate. And it wasn't until like 3 years later that I looked back at those songs and realized that they taught me lessons, but I didn't know.
Right.
This is one of the first albums since Worry by Jeff Rosenstock, or the last Smith Street Band album before the most recent one that I can't remember the name of off the top of my head, that has actively taught me while I listened.
Mm-hmm.
And what this album taught me was that fuck, it might be too late for a lot of things, but it's not too late to fucking do something. It's not too late to try doing the things that you want to do,
mm-hmm.
even if you barely have any chance of doing anything with them.
Right.
Right? And so, while sitting and listening to this album, I was writing. I was playing guitar. I was, you know, editing something. I was always working on something while listening to this album. The countless times that I've listened to this album over the past year, like, this album got me through a lot of shit. And it helped keep my head clear in a year that was spent isolated and alone for the most part.
Yep.
You know, I have my select group of friends that I knew it was safe to be around, but we didn't see each other every day. And as much of an introvert as I am, I do need some kind of release. And this song gave me that release of energy, because I would just sit here and belt along with every single fucking song.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck. Fuck. God, I love this album.
Yeah, this particular song that I'm listening to, and the voice of the singer, too, he has one of those voices. He has, like, a bit of warble when he sings. I don't know why, but it just, you feel, it makes you feel whatever he's feeling.
It's very similar to, I put this band up there with the Menzingers,
mm-hmm.
in terms of, like, raw talent,
mm-hmm.
in both the vocal and instrumental department. Like, it's just so, so well done. The whole album is just constructed in a way to where you will feel like a better person when you're done listening to it once.
Oh, yeah.
And that just, it stacks. The yep. buff stacks. Like
stackable buff, what?
Yes, man. Stackable buff. Pop six stimulants, man. Like, yes. Fuck. It's... Mm-hmm. I'm tearing up a little bit just thinking about it. Because a lot of things changed in my life in 2020. Especially in the latter half.
Yep.
But this album got me through a lot of them. And even after the most recent events that Adrian knows what they were, I went back and listened to it again, and it taught me more shit, and cleared my head about some doubts I was having about that situation. Like, there's a lesson to be learned from every song. There's multiple lessons to be learned from every song on this album.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pretty much learn any lesson you need to learn in your mid-20s.
Yep.
Like, that's pretty much it, though. Like,
that's all you gotta say?
Yeah. You got anything else to say about it?
No, you said enough.
All right.
So,
hop right in
to my number five, which is the album Technicolor by the math rock band Covet.
Yeah.
Now, you were talking about, like, how the last album by Spanish Love Songs got you through a lot of shit this year.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, this one did too.
I can understand.
Because even though, like, there's not many lyrics, like, there's no lyrics really on this album. As is want of a Covet album.
Yeah.
It's all just math rock sort of guitars and drums and weird, you know, time signatures. The whole banging skadoodle, whatever the fuck. But for some reason, I listened to this album a lot, mm-hmm. because, especially during times that I just needed a pick-me-up.
Yeah.
And it's not that the entire album is, like, so, like, light and airy and happy throughout. it just really felt like a lot of release when I listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime that I was feeling bad and like I was in a bad mood and like on my way to work and I just wasn't in the right mindset, I just listened to this album.
Absolutely.
I can see that. And it put me in a good mindset.
I can see that. A lot of instrumental math rock is like that for me. It's cathartic in a way.
Yeah.
It just kind of lifts you out of your shell for a moment, just so you can kind of look at yourself mm-hmm. and be like, yeah, fuck, you're fine.
Right. Like, the best way I can put it is stuff like this, the album Technicolor, reminds me that there's still beauty in this world.
Yeah.
And it helps me get out of any dark place that I'm in.
Even with no words, there's still lessons to be learned.
Yeah.
And one of the lessons that you learn from an album like this is less is more.
Yeah.
Especially in surroundings filled with extravagance.
Yep.
Like, math rock is all about the spectacle.
Yep.
It's all about the spectacle of really technical guitar playing, really, like, combined with, you know, assimilation with the bass and the drums. It's all about cohesiveness and intensity, but also simplicity.
Yeah.
And Covet really does that so well, especially mm-hmm. on this album. It comes together perfectly.
Yep.
And it just makes you feel as complete as the album is.
Oh, yes.
Like, it does.
And
I love it.
You know, the front lady, Yvette Young.
We've gorgeous.
Talked to her before.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous person with the skill to play violin, piano, guitar, sing. It's not fair, but you know what? She exists. It's fine. You know, gods can exist on Earth. It's,
yeah.
It's cool.
Holy shit. Like, I've reached the point where, no, I won't marry Yvette Young. I won't smash Yvette Young. But boy, oh boy, do I just want to sit in a room and just talk to Yvette Young.
Yeah. Like, you're not simping for Yvette.
I'm not simping anymore. There was a period of a year or two where I was like, fuck, mommy. But not anymore.
Not anymore. At this point, it's just like
sheer admiration. Respect.
Yeah, respect and admiration. Yeah. And I really agree with that. You know, I do admire her work, whether personal or with Covet.
Yeah.
And it always blows me away and helps me just feel alive again.
The fact that she's only been playing guitar for like 5 or 6 years at this point.
Stupid.
Fuck off. Stop.
Yep.
Don't. Never Don't. Stop.
Never stop. Keep stop. Going. Yeah. But yeah, that's Technicolor by Covet.
You really do be. All right. What are we at? Five. Told you it was gonna hit. It was gonna get hard here.
Well,
this is what it looks like. Circles by Mac Miller. Rest in peace, Mac. When this album came out, it was early in the year, and I knew from the minute I hit play and Circles started playing, this was gonna be on my album of the year list, no matter what. I've loved Mac Miller since kids, kicking incredibly dope shit. And when Mac Miller died, that was the first time a musical artist dying really, really impacted me.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash hit me, but Mac Miller hit me harder.
Yep.
You know, because when I moved back to the States and MTV was rolling, and when I was living in a hotel, and MTV was like the only channel they had that had programming that I cared about. And I would wake up before school and put on, and they had the music videos, you know, fucking, I would sit there and a song from Kids would come on And I would just be like, yeah, I'm 13. Like, Mac Miller got me through incredibly tough times in my life. And hearing his final words, basically, in an album, you know, around 2 years after his death, like, it just, it makes me feel things.
Yeah. I think it's something that everyone who listened to this album and really felt a connection with it, just across the world.
Yeah.
We all just collectively was like, fuck.
Yeah. Like, when I've sat and watched, you know, many docs on the production of this album and stuff, and how the producer, I forget his name, but he worked with Mac very closely. To the point of, you know, Mac would write things and he'd be like, nah, I can't use this. It's bad. He's like, no, shut the fuck up. Sit down. Record it. Even if you don't want to use it, record it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this whole album was.
I'm going to save what I wanted to say for Mac Miller.
I'm going to just keep going then.
Yeah.
Because,
like I said, I'm going to save for what I want to say about Mac Miller whenever we hit his placement on my list. So, go ahead.
Fucking. I know for a fact that Mac had no intention of ever releasing any of this. But I'm glad that it was released. I'm glad that his family and his friends came to the conclusion of releasing it. Because I feel like this is proof that Mac Miller isn't dead.
Right.
You know? He's gone, but he didn't go anywhere. This is the most heart and soul out of anything Mac Miller has ever produced. You know? It is his heart and soul. Mm-hmm. Every word, every line of every song is just his heart, his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And
laid bare.
Yeah. It hits different.
It
hits different, especially when you can tell that he knew. He was gonna kill himself at some point.
Yep.
He knew he was gonna.
It wasn't so much that he intended to kill himself. He just knew his lifestyle was going to kill him soon.
Yeah.
And he just accepted it.
Yeah. It. Fuck.
It built different.
Fuck.
Okay. On to a less teary-eyed piece. We'll come back to that later. So, I picked an album by the album's called Aporia by Sufjan Stevens and his father or stepfather, I forget, Lowell Brahms. And this particular album is kind of a deviation from the typical Sufjan Stevens sound. Mm-hmm. It is based off of and using the same instruments that Sufjan had as a kid, given to him by Lowell.
Mm.
That was pretty much just some analog synthesizers. And he messed around with it and produced some funky electronic tunes. And like I said earlier with the Caribou album, it explores those different types of electronic sounds very beautifully. Very trancey, very ambient, and it feels
good. This particular song in a Space Quest game.
Oh, yeah. It's very much that spacey vibe.
Space Quest. Yeah. By Sierra Games.
And I put this high up on the list on my, what, number four spot?
Yeah, this would be your four.
This is my number four spot because I think the production on it, to me, is just so refined.
It's sick how they're taking such low-quality instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And turning it into such a beautifully produced product.
Oh, yeah. It really goes to show, as I'm coming to an agreement with myself, that less is more.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways. Because as much as I like the more extravagant side of electronic music. There's something more wholesome and pure about the simpler stuff.
Hell, even shout out our good homie Kevin.
Yeah.
Because recently he was at a music shop and he made the conscious decision to pick up a new piece of audio equipment for himself. And he was sitting there looking at, you know, different pads, different synths, different stuff. And then he sees on the bottom shelf, the cheapest one, sitting there, dusty box in the corner. Hey, yo, how much is that? And he grabs it. And he brought it over here. And that motherfucker was going ham on that bitch. It's just a little tiny little synthy thing. Mm-hmm. A little tiny synth. And it's so adorable. But that brought that man up from a 7 to a 9 immediately.
Yeah.
Just having that little bit of just equipment that no one else would ever really look at.
Right.
You know? Less is more sometimes.
Yeah.
You don't need to get the most high-end expensive shit to make a quality product.
Oh, no. Not at all. And I feel like that's something that you're starting to realize about electronic music.
Yeah.
Is, because you've always been more about, you know, the more raw vibe in music. Mm-hmm. And that can exist in electronic
music. It can, yes.
Yeah. It's just, it's kind of hard to find because it's so easy just to throw up a DAW.
Yeah. And use a bunch when 90% of the genre is overproduced shit.
Yeah.
It's hard to find the diamonds in the rough.
Yep.
Or rather, the rough in the diamonds.
Exactly. And that's... that's something that I'm starting to really like.
I want blemishes, damn it.
Yeah, right. It's very good to hear stuff like this being produced. And also in a very, what I would imagine, was a very good and bonding album between him and his father.
Mm-hmm.
Between Stevens and his father.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think comes through, is that there's that immense amount of joy and love in it.
Yeah.
And just like, just creating good music.
I agree.
Yep.
Solid.
Mm-hmm.
Solid project.
Yep.
All right, ready to talk about Pine Grove for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Pine Grove for 10 minutes. So, my number 4 album also happens to be Adrian's number 3. So, we're just going to talk about Pine Grove for 10 minutes. Marigold by Pine Grove came out really early in the year.
Yep.
And it did not leave my list whatsoever. Right. It only dropped from number 1 as other things came out,
right.
But it still stayed at number 4. So, yep. Like, oh, it's so good.
there's something about the lyrical content to me that I really enjoy.
Evan Stevens Hall is absolutely one of my biggest lyrical inspirations. I want to be able to write like him and Jacob Ewald.
Yeah, for some reason... Evan, he is able to really toe that line between saying what he means and then basically using more, like, symbolic language.
Yeah.
Like, he hits that, like, little middle ground.
You can listen to a Pine Grove song and words simultaneously make no sense together whatsoever, but also are completely coherent sentences.
Oh yeah,
like
legit. There's enough ambiguity that anyone can take meaning from it. But like, it's one of those things where everyone just kind of feels what he's saying.
Yeah,
they just feel it. And immaculate instrumental work too.
And his vocal work, as always, powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Pine Grove. Sure, I know there's people out there who are still butthurt over the controversy a couple years back.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Right.
All right, we're talking about music here.
Yeah.
Holy fuck is this good music. And this is the best music Pine Grove has ever made.
Oh, for sure.
Without a fucking doubt. Like, yes, are there songs that I love more than any song on this album? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you, this is the best album.
Yep.
As a whole, there is not a single song that is below an 8.5 on this album.
Nope. It's all good.
It's all fucking bangers.
Yep.
Holy shit, I love this album.
And I am going to keep bringing it up. The song that I like most off this album is Spiral, the second track on the album. And it's like less than a minute long. It's like 45, 46 seconds or something. But what I love so much about it is it really fits the title.
It spins.
It spins. Like, the way that he wrote the lyrics for it, it's like drinking
the way the
water,
band plays off of each other instrumentally, the way it's mixed, too, it spins in your head. Like, it's so fucking well-crafted. Every song on the album is so well-crafted.
Yeah.
My favorite song is The Alarmist, but fuck, that doesn't mean much, considering that they're all 8s, 9s, 10s.
Yep.
Like, they're all such good fucking songs.
Yep.
Like, oh.
This album, it's going to be the Pine Grove album I think I return to most whenever I want to listen to a Pine
like,
Grove album.
If I have a Pine Grove playlist, it'll be this whole album and then a select couple songs off of the rest of them.
Right. Like, yep. Be like, this whole album, then Metronome and all that other shit.
Metronome's still the fucking best one. Oh, yeah. I wish. Because, like, you know, on Skylight, they redid... what the fuck is that song? Angelina.
Yeah.
They redid Angelina. I fucking wish with all my heart they would fucking redo Metronome.
Yeah. Just the audio tree, that version that he did. Oh. The little just acoustic with his foot tapping.
Gosh. So good. It's so fuck, good. I love that song so much.
We almost saw these guys last year. Wasn't for
I've
COVID.
Almost, I've missed them three times yeah, now, exactly. Damn it.
Oh, man. It is legit. They're going to be the first band that we see once people start touring again. Oh, this song. This song moment.
We queued up two songs because it was, just, you know.
Yeah.
Fuck.
This song moment opens up. And it was their single that they released before the album came out. And it was legit just a very big and open and broad sound that opens up this song, this track. Yeah. And it really much, I think it really introduced how the album was going to feel throughout. Just a very much, a more realized version of Pine Grove. With more color, with more flesh, with more form to it.
Mm.
And this song, I think, exemplifies a good bit of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, God, Pine Grove's dynamic. Yep. The chemistry as a band.
Yeah.
Really is what... Like, I feel like after the controversy, they just got better.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they cut ties with a couple of people.
Yep.
They did. But the people that they brought in, not as replacements, because they're still friends, but they just couldn't work together professionally.
Right.
But the people that they brought in to fill those spots, just, I don't know what it is. It feels like they were Pine Grove fans.
Right.
And they were like, all right, now I gotta fucking play my fucking heart out.
Yep.
They want me to help them record this album? Fuck!
They brought a lot more life into the project.
They did.
Yeah.
They did, and it's so fucking good, man.
Like, if
God, Pine Grove, what the fuck?
If there's one thing, I feel like off of all of our lists, this is the album that I would recommend
to anyone.
Anyone.
Yeah. Absolutely anyone.
Because there's
even,
something...
Even higher on the list, there's more albums that are really fucking good.
And more personal to us.
Yes, but this one, I feel like anyone can listen to this. And even if it's not particularly a genre you've ever really cared for or listened to, you can still fucking... There's something on this album that'll make you be like, ooh!
Yeah.
Okay!
Yeah.
Like, God, it's so well produced.
Yeah.
Like... Normally, because we were just talking about how I love the raw, like, it's still there. It's still there in Evan's voice and in the guitar tones and stuff, but it's
the right amount of production. It's just enough to clean up some of the less bits of it.
Yeah, it's fucking so good.
It is an immaculate piece of Pine Grove.
Yeah.
I love it. Also, Amperland...
The movie
they're making.
I'm so hyped for that. I just want a trailer. Someone give me a trailer. But yeah. That's fucking Marigold by Pine Grove. Go, if you listen to any album we talk about today, make it that one.
Yep.
So that was my number four and Adrian's number three. So now we'll move on to my number three. This album sat at number one for me for the better part of the year. God, I love her voice so much. All right. Do You Wonder About Me by Diet Sig is... Admittedly, compared to a lot of the albums I've talked about so far, it's on the lower end of quality. But there's something in particular about this project that just makes me fucking happy.
Mm-hmm.
Despite it all being about, like, the depression following a breakup and, like, coping mechanisms to deal with it.
Right.
Like, it just... it brought a lot out of me because not in 2020, but in 2019, I went through a breakup. And I just, I needed something, but nothing was there. But so I just had to cope by myself.
Right.
And then in 2020, this album comes out and I'm like, where the fuck was this? I needed this. And so I sat and listened to it anyway. And I found myself getting closure with situations that I'd gotten closure with a long time ago. And I'm like, huh. There's just something magical about the duo that is Diet Sig to me.
Right.
Like, her vocals, her guitar, and then his drums and the bass is just... It fills the gaps perfectly. It all works together so well.
Yep.
They're one of those bands I would love to see live.
Oh, yeah.
And I would just... It's not a mosh. This is one that I will gladly just sit in the back corner and just, like, sway to.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
It is...
I love Diet Sig so much, man.
I'm really digging your sound, because today is the first time. Well, no, you showed me them a while back, but This is when today is when I really first listened to them. And I can tell that this is a band that I need to see live.
Yeah.
I mean, like, recorded-wise, fantastic songs. Yes. But I know that the full experience would be a live performance. Yeah.
We'll check out some of their Audio Tree stuff later.
Yeah.
While we're mixing the playlist and stuff.
It is definitely the vibe that I would want to have in some smoky small venue.
Yeah. Like, Cat's Cradle back room.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not the front stage, the back room. Back room. That's where I want this.
Yep.
Up on the balcony?
Yeah.
That's where I want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the vibe. And
not even a headlining tour, they're the opener. That's what I want. Yeah. God damn it.
And they get an encore as the opener.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And it's this song. Yeah. Like fucking...
Thinking. Yeah.
Thriving.
Or thriving. Yeah.
I adore Diet Sig. What else can I fucking say about Diet Sig? I'm done talking about Diet Sig.
Okay.
I want to do a bonus track on this whole album.
Oh yeah.
Okay, now you can talk about Mac.
Okay. So, my number two. Oh god. The album Circles by Mac Miller. Specifically the song Good News. This to me is his biggest like goodbye song.
Yeah. This was his goodbye.
Yeah.
And we got it 2 years late.
Right. It's wild to me. It is an emotion in this song that I think every 20-something has felt.
Yeah.
That sudden realization that, like, I'm no longer a kid. Where I go from here, it's all on me.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I think most people kind of feel from this, is this realization, this, like, a quiet crisis, you know? And it's not so much that you're freaking out or whatever. It's just you're just kind of sitting in your room, fading out, just like, fuck.
Yeah.
And as for Mac Miller, what he puts in this song, it's about how everyone around him is always expecting him to be this happy, you know, go-lucky, just chill dude. And he's not allowed to be depressed or broken.
Yeah.
And that is a fucking mood I ever heard
once. This song is my favorite one on the album, and also the one I listen to the least.
It hurts.
It does. Not just because it makes me think of the homie Mac, but because I think like this on the daily.
Yep.
And hearing someone else think like that makes me scared about where the fuck I'll end up.
Right.
Because, like, I sit here and I'm like, yeah, I'll probably, I might die this year. Who knows? Fuck it. and then I hear this and I'm like, oh, fuck, no, wait, no.
It is an emotion, an experience, a word called Sonder.
Yeah.
It's like the sudden realization that other people are experiencing reality like you are. It is the most immense feeling of empathy. And that's what I can call this album, is the immense feeling of empathy. Where you're empathetic to how Mac Miller feels throughout.
Yeah.
And it, whenever I listen to this album, it, like, is just the window into what Mac Miller was going through in those last few months, really.
Yeah.
Years, even. And this is another album that would be like, Pine Grove album was like Marigold. You listen to that one for sure.
Yeah.
This is if you want to get a deeper cut into what 2020 was like.
Yeah.
And this is another part that I want to talk about. I feel like this album collectively for a lot of people our age was like coming together, a culmination of our generation just being like, this was the zeitgeist of our generation this past decade.
Mm-hmm.
This album, specifically this song.
Yeah.
And the fact that Mac Miller captured this.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that he did. It just sucks that he died before it came out.
Fucking, for real, if he were still around, you know, like I was saying about Yvette Young or Evan Stevens Hall, he is one of, like, the top five people. Top five rest in peace homies.
Yeah.
That I would just sit, not even talk about music. Just sit, talk. Smoke a blunt, and just chill.
Yep.
Don't even got to talk at all. I just want to sit and smoke a blunt with the man.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And also in this song, I just want to mark, he says, there was a whole lot more for me waiting on the other side.
Yeah.
Just, it's like, he knew. And it hurts.
Hurts a lot, man. But,
boy, it's
good. Nothing but respect to the homie Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Much love to his family, friends, coworkers, people that he worked with, you know. It's been a couple years, but, you know, I'll still say rest in peace to the homie every single fucking day, you know?
Yep.
Because even if he's someone neither of us ever got to meet, it still feels like we knew him better than a lot of people we know personally.
Yep. He was everyone's homie.
Yeah. You know? He was one of those few artists that he never had, like, an article or anything come out, like, fucking... Yeah, he was a dick to me when I met him on the streets. No, you see Mac Miller, he's like, peace. Like,
just, it sucks that light is gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Rest in peace. We love the homie.
Rest in peace, Mac Miller.
One of the best fucking albums I've ever heard. Fuck 2020. Like, I don't even like hippity hoppity shit.
Right.
But not... I'll listen to that any goddamn time.
Oh, yeah.
All right. My number two album of the year, also the most recent release on either of these lists, At the Moon Base by Slaughter Beach Dog. I love me some Slaughter Beach Dog. That's no secret. Last year, Safe But Also No Fear was in my top five. And this year, they hit my top two. This album... much like Marigold, much like Circles, is the definitive Slaughter Beach Dog experience for me. Welcome, their first album under the project, was great. but it felt like a continuation of Modern Baseball, which hurt me more than it did help me. Birdie, fantastic. They dug deeper into their own sound and kind of caught their niche. Mm-hmm. Safe But Also No Fear, holy shit. Fuck. Ow. Yes. At the Moonbase is the best project Jacob Ewald has ever worked on. It's better than anything Modern Baseball released. I will say that wholeheartedly, knowing exactly how much Modern Baseball has impacted my life, that should mean something. Right. We're listening to the closing track right now. Notes from a Brief Engagement at the Book and Saddle. And I showed this to Adrian before, and I think he understands what I mean.
Yeah.
Because I've played plenty of Slaughter Beach Dog. We've listened to plenty of it together. But the way that Jake has leaned into his weird spoken singing. Yeah. It's not spoken word poetry as much as it is spoken singing.
I know what you mean, yeah.
But
like sing-speak.
Sing-speak, and the instrumentals are so fleshed out with so many different notes of different instruments popping in and out. Easter eggs, as Adrian called them. Mm-hmm. Like, and that goes all throughout the album.
Yeah.
Every song has something new hidden in there, and you're like, woo.
It's a lot. There's a lot going on, and it's not busy. It feels amazing, and just like you're entering just this world, this soundscape that he's created.
Yeah.
In a way that artists of his type and his genre, you don't hear as much.
Yeah.
It is something entirely different and new, and that's something that can be very much appreciated.
Yep. Absolutely. Like, Slaughter Beach Dog is a concept project. It is all based around the small town of Slaughter Beach and, like, the residents.
Yep.
Within. And over these four albums, we really have gotten to see these characters grow, mm-hmm, and develop. And this feels like the end of the story.
Yep.
I fucking hope it's not. But if he decided to move on to a new project right now, I wouldn't complain.
Right.
The end of this album, this song that we're listening to right now, is the perfect close to a damn near perfect album, you know, which is part of a four full LP record long story.
Yep.
And
it's a feat.
It is. Like, the only other artist that comes close to this in terms of concept, for me personally, is Aaron West in the Roaring Twenties.
Mm, yeah.
Because the narratives are comparable.
Yep.
In just pure literative skill.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Jake really, like, you can tell that he was writing some of these songs.
Oh, yeah.
While touring with Modern Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
The songs on this album he was writing while touring, mm-hmm, with Modern Baseball. And he waited this long to put them on a record because they were meant for this part of the story.
Yep.
Like,
a lot of years of planning and work went into this album.
Yeah.
And it comes through beautifully. Also, saxophone.
The fucking sax solo at the end of the song is so good, and it just plays the whole song out. Like, God. It's such a fucking good album.
So good. So fucking good.
I'll let it play out.
Yeah.
And then
we go into my number two. My number one.
Your number one.
I'm dumb. I can't count. Don't worry. My number one, the album Don't Waste Your Anger by the Smith Street Band. So I do this thing with albums. And I'm sure it confuses Spotify, because my favorite albums, I don't listen to that often, you know, because to me, they're something special, and therefore special moments.
Yeah.
This is one of those albums. And I feel like Don't Waste Your Anger by the Smith Street Band as an album really captured my entire experience throughout 2020.
Yeah.
Just surviving that year, being mad at the world, being mad at myself, being just upset and lonely, mm-hmm. but also with so many notes of hope and perseverance throughout.
Yeah.
And this album, to me, just really captured that entire experience.
Yeah.
And anytime I've listened to it, it just felt like the core of my being in the past year.
Yeah. I will say, this album was on my list at a point.
Yep.
And the only reason it fell off of my list is because the anger and frustration and just sheer lack of faith that I had at the beginning of the year
yep.
went away once I realized how productive of a year I was having.
Right.
Right. And other projects came into my life that just kind of slowly bumped it off until it was too late. But that being said, top 20 for me is still a fucking feat in itself, right? Yep. So it is a fucking phenomenal album that I recommend to anyone with a taste of for Australian angst.
Yep.
Because, oh boy, is it aggressively Australian and also angsty.
Yep.
God, I love Will. I love Will's voice. Yep. I love his voice so much. We were talking about this earlier. He is always just so unapologetically unkempt with his voice.
Yep.
Like, he'll crack on a he'll have voice cracks 5 or 6 times in a studio record, and I'm okay with it. I don't give a fuck. It's so good.
It's not a fault.
It's a stylistic feature. Choice.
Feature of the songs.
But
like, they should have just put next to every song, you know, song name featuring Will's voice cracks.
Will Wagner. I love him. Fucking. This album is important.
It is.
It's important.
It is important in the Grimcast lore, I would
yes.
say.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
In our lives. Yeah. And a lot of other people's lives, I can imagine, too. And especially this closing track, the title track, Don't Waste Your Anger. It is a good just send-off for yeah. what was established and explored in this album.
A lot of albums this year with perfect closers.
Yep. To a
perfect
decade.
Closing songs. Yeah.
To a year and a decade that I fucking hated, but also loved.
So good. Grimcast top 10 albums of the 2010s went. Yeah. That'll be a long one.
Oh boy.
Holy fuck. We'll get there.
Yep.
All right. I'm gonna keep talking about this one, actually. So, yeah. The Smith Street Band, it's a band that's very, very near and dear to my heart. Their last album, I can't remember the name of that album. Hold on. I'll go get it. Their last album, More Scared of You Than You Are of Me, was my 2017 album of the year. It was.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, was I waiting very impatiently for those 3 years between that one and this one.
Yep.
That one was produced by Jeff Rosenstock in the same house that he produced Worry in. Mm. That's why that one hit me so goddamn hard.
Yep.
Because you could feel it. You could hear it.
Yep.
It was all there. You can tell that they played that whole album through in one fucking session until they got it perfect. Because that's how Jeff made him do. He's like, no.
We ain't doing more than one take unless it's an entire take.
And you can feel the refinement from that to this.
Mm-hmm.
And this album, it hits the same notes and adds on to that.
Yeah.
It the other one was complete. This one's just extra as fuck.
This is the epilogue.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, this is the DLC. This is the blood and wine.
The blood and wine of
fucking
Wisher's Smith Street Band.
It's so fucking good. I love this album. With all my heart. and it's not even on my list.
Yeah.
It's not even on my top 10.
It's good it got to mine and on the top.
Yeah, because I wanted to talk about it. I just didn't expect it to be on yours.
Yeah.
But I'm fucking glad it was.
It hit me. It was the album that was most memorable for me in the past year. Because, like I said, it really hit the core of how I felt.
Absolutely
the past
fucking
year.
Fair. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fair.
And that I can't say enough that this album really felt like the culmination of the past decade, the past year.
Mm-hmm.
Just coming together. And
you know
me
what it is?
Turning the page into a new
It's
decade.
Because if you look at these last few bands that we've talked about.
Yeah.
Right? Mac Miller, Pine Grove, Diet Sig, fucking Slaughter Beach Dogs, Smith Street Band. They're all millennials.
Yeah.
They're all millennial bands. Mm-hmm. They're all like mid-20s, mid-late 20s.
Yeah.
Just like us.
Yep.
They're all going through the same fucking shit.
Yep.
They just have the platform to speak about it that we can hear.
Yep.
And like, you know, in a way, that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
We're talking to other people our age, and even some of the younger people that listen to the show.
And maybe some older, who knows?
Who the fuck actually knows? Not me. But, you know, that's something that I feel like the millennial generation pulls off better than any other before.
Mm-hmm.
Is just connecting with each other. Somehow we all find a way to come to some common ground.
Some communication between peers has definitely improved in the past generation.
Yeah.
maybe not so much on a larger scale, but
on an interpersonal level.
Yeah, exactly.
it's pretty nice that mm-hmm. you know, the art that comes out of our generation can impact everyone in generations before and after.
Interesting times breeds interesting culture.
Indeed.
And art. All right.
And finally, my number one. This one was a bit of a shocker.
Yep.
Because I sent my list to the server and to Adrian a couple weeks ago. And then I was like, okay, no, I need to sit down and actually re-listen and restructure my list. This was nowhere on that list.
Nope.
This was, if I had to place it somewhere before I restructured, it would have probably been like 18 of 20.
Yeah.
But then I went back and listened to every album that I've listened to all the way through this year. And this one moved from 18 to 1.
Quite the hop.
Yeah. This album is Depressadelica by Elvis DePresley. I don't know. I can't really explain it 100%. All I know is this album saved my life. This album made me no longer fear the razor blades I keep on my desk to fucking grip fingerboards.
Right.
Like, this album just helped me. And like, it's not even like I ever got to the point of looking at a razor blade that way this year.
Right.
Or last year. But this album made sure I didn't.
Right.
You know? Like, because every time I sit and listen to this album, it's such a weird, like, mismatch of different fucking genres and sounds that normally I wouldn't really listen to. Usually, like, this song and the first song on the album are the only ones I would ever, like, listen to back a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just sit and put this album on and just feel okay for half an hour. And it just makes me fucking feel complete.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck it is about this album. It's just special to me.
There's a whole vibe to it. A whole mood that is melancholy, but very balanced and content.
Yeah.
It is the epitome of just being okay with your situation, no matter how fucked it is.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a peace in that.
It is. That, like, this album, it filled a void that's been growing inside me for a while. And it filled that void without me even noticing.
Right.
Like, to the point where, yeah, it was number 18, if that, right? But then I realized, I sat and I looked at how much time I've spent. And thank you, Spotify! The song we had queued up ended, and it just fucking put on another song from that album. But this song in particular, who can be loved in this world?
Gosh.
I used this in a Skater Excel edit, for fuck's sake.
Yep.
Like, I can't really put it, I can't find the words for what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say that it's my fucking favorite album of this year.
Yeah.
Of last year. And nothing can change that.
It definitely, I mean, we went into a little deeper with the little mini bonus track that we did.
Yeah.
The little interlude track we did. And I find myself, and I think we get into like the in each other's list albums that we're going to listen to after, like, listen back to. This is an album I will definitely be listening back to.
Yeah.
Plenty.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now that we've hit this point, we discussed prior to recording, going back and kind of talking about like which albums we're going to give a little bit more time to off of each other's lists.
Yep.
For me, it's absolutely, I'm definitely gonna check out. I'm gonna listen through the San Fermin album a little bit more too.
Yeah,
because I haven't listened to it all the way through.
Yeah,
but I will do that. And I'm definitely gonna check out some more Dan Deacon. That shit hit me Dan different.
Dan Deacon, dude.
That shit hit different.
There's a song I want to show you after this by him. You may have seen. It has a video to it, and it's very good. It's called "When I Was Done Dying."
Okay.
And that was my introduction to Dan Deacon. So Mystic Familiar, Mystic Familiar is also just a really good album to go back to and listen to.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna listen to more San Fermin album too, and maybe dive deeper myself into the lyrics and see how I feel about it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And then, go ahead, keep going.
I'm also probably, let me see, was it, yeah, it was Caribou. I'm definitely going to check more of this out.
Caribou.
Because that one also hits different.
Yeah.
I like it quite a bit.
It's that good electronica.
Mm-hmm. I'll probably listen to Aporia some more too.
Yeah. Aporia. I felt like when I put those on this list, I knew those were albums that I really enjoyed. And the more I thought about it, I was like, you probably like him too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You found the ones. You found the ones that hit me the right way.
Yep. Yeah. Any other ones that we don't share? I mean, City Girl, obviously.
Well, yeah. Like, yeah. At this point, we're kind of at artists that we both listen to anyway.
Yeah. So I guess, but I can go into mine. What I would listen to back. So let me think. The ones that I haven't like listened to before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to read through them. My vision's not best. Diet Sig. I'll definitely be listening to back.
Yeah.
Spanish love songs. Like Diet Sig really hit that, like I said, I talked about that mood that I like.
Yeah.
Of being in that smoky room.
Yeah.
Just vibing out to a good band. And then Spanish love songs, it hit that good moshy vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dogleg
too, I definitely recommend you check a little bit more.
Dogleg. I remember, like I said, like Kawasaki Backflip. I think that's the song off of this, our listings, that stood out to me the most.
Yeah.
And I'll definitely be listening to more Dogleg because of it.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Slaughter Beach Dog, you know, I'm going to take the dive into Slaughter Beach Dog. I've been meaning to.
I think you need to just start with Welcome and go all the way through.
Yep, I just need to start, just whole thing.
I think you just need to full stop. Send. Send all four albums and the EP. Don't forget the EP because it's still canon.
Exactly. I'm going to listen to all of it on my own time. I'm going to set some time aside for it because I've been meaning to listen to Slaughter Beach Dog. And the only reason why I haven't done it is because it is a dedicated thing you have to do to really get through it all and get the full scope of the project. So that's definitely up there.
Yeah,
and Elvis Depressedly, of course.
Yeah.
Another album that I'll be listening to.
Depressadelica is for sure. It's harder to recommend to everyone, but it's something I do think you will fucking
fuck with.
Fall into. You know? But yeah, fucking for sure gonna check out all that shit because I feel like this year people, I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and they said that there wasn't really as much music this year. And I was like, oh, you're not paying enough attention then. Because fuck, there was a lot.
Yep.
The fact that we both have lists and there was only like three albums of overlap.
Yep.
Like, and there's not a single album on this list that I would not listen to.
Right.
You know? Like, we couldn't really say that before.
Right.
Like, last year, you had albums, I had albums, and it was like, yeah, it's fine, but, you know,
I probably wouldn't. But I think we really did a lot to find albums that we personally liked, and that we each were like...
Yeah, this is good enough to show to anyone else.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I have, because obviously there's stuff that I listen to, I'm a big EDM fan, that fucking nobody...
No. With proper taste, and I listen to a lot of shitty trash pop punk, and I love it. But why would I bring the same old shitty trash pop punk?
I think there's something to be said about music that brings people together, and I think a lot of our list is an example of that. If it's just us two coming together, sure, but I think a lot of these songs too will bring other people into the fold.
Yeah,
into the Borg.
For sure.
Join us.
For fucking sure. I'm super hyped to sit and put together this playlist. I'm super hyped that we got around to recording this episode. And I'm really glad that, you know, we pulled a really good episode
out of this. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is one of the most involved projects we've worked on for Grimcast so far.
Right. Oh my gosh.
It's
an entire year in the making.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Yeah. Like, you know, last year's video that we did with Joe, that was kind of a mess.
Yeah.
but it was still a fun time.
Oh yeah.
But this one, I feel like this works. Really
this works.
Well.
I'm excited to see what we do for 2021 later this
Hell
year.
Hell yeah. And I'm also very grateful to anyone who is listening to this. Because I know we released our comeback episode last week. And let me check real fast. Because I feel like I owe a bit of a... hey, thank you to some people. Let's see, that's the wrong show. Fuck. Bear with me.
So many projects. Oh my god.
But yeah, no, fucking... this one has been very fun to make. A Different Key is a show that I'm very glad we didn't let die.
Yeah.
I'm glad we came back to this one, and hopefully starting next week we can get back on the producing. Weekly group uploads again. You know, Joe's just transitioning from being down here to going back home eventually. I don't even know if he's still in the state or not. I haven't talked to him since last time we hung out.
Can't tell. We'll find out.
Yeah. So you know that's whatever. But we'll get the ball rolling again here shortly. And hope you guys stick around for all that, because I have some fun things planned on for my episodes when it's my turn in the rotation.
Yep.
So you know, and the next episode will be my first turn in the rotation since the reboot. So hopefully you'll like what I have planned. I just need to talk about it together. That being said, I guess this was your A Different Key yearly album of the year.
Top 10.
Billion.
Top 10 versus albums of 2020.
Top 10 versus. yeah, top 10, top 20, 18, 17. I don't fucking know anymore. Something. Who cares? This was our top albums of 2020.
There you go.
It's a little bit late, but hey, we needed something to fill this weird week gap anyway.
Yep.
So here we let's go. Do it. I've been your host for this week, Chris, joined by the lovely, beautiful shitlord Adrian.
Hello. Thank you. Appreciate the compliments.
And we hope you guys will check out the Discord. Hop down, follow us and our homies in the description below. Check out the Weeb Show if you like you some video games and anime. Join our Discord server. Talk to us. Eh. You know, talk to us about chill. Music or video games or anime or fucking other weird shit.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
Tech.
Also, check out whatever playlist we come up with after this with our top 10 album.
Yeah, we'll totally link that in the albums. Description. We'll share that in the server as well. Blah, 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 yep. blah, blah. So, yeah, we will see you guys next week with another actual real episode. The first actual real episode of A Different Key since we came back.
Awesome. Yeah. See you guys later.
Yeah. Peace.